Hello, let's look at chapter 5, payments and currency. When we are looking at business, international business or global sourcing or global sales, we need to understand the international banking system, because that's how our money is going to come back. Or if you are buying, that is how you will send your payments. So international banking services across countries, supports global trade and investment, includes cross-border payments and trade finance, serves individuals, businesses and governments. So first thing is, you need banking services which work across countries. That means you need to have banks which are able to send and receive finances across two countries. Supports global trade and investment. Most of these banks, once they are into such kind of transactions, they would support you for many more countries than just the two that you are looking at. Includes cross-border payments and trade finance. That means you would require certain credits, certain payments to be made, certain requirements across in the other country that would also be available through such banks. And these banks not only serve individuals, but they serve companies as well as governments. International banking arrangements. There are various banks that are there, or various options that they have in terms of what is their role in the banking sector. So there is something called correspondent banks, representative offices, foreign branches and multinational banks, subsidiaries and affiliates, offshore banks and Edge Act banks. Now, each of these names are with respect to the roles that they play in the international banking arrangements. International banking services, multi-currency accounts, foreign exchange services, letters of credit, wire transfers, trade finance and treasury services. International banking services, most of the time, whenever, let's say tomorrow you open an account or your company has an account with HDFC Bank. Now this bank, when you tell them that you would like to get into international banking services with them, they would ask you to open an account, separate account with them, which would be a corporate account in the name of the company. Now this account would necessarily support multi-currency transactions, which means that you could have a same account number or with just a prefix suffix holding the currency of the account of the country that you are trying to export or import, as well as the Indian currency in Indian rupees. Foreign exchange services, they would also permit you or offer you services to change Indian currency through the dollar or directly into the third part, into the suppliers or seller's country. Letters of credit, they would also route letters of credit through the bank, so that you need not go for every banking need that you have or every payment or finance need that you have, you don't need to go to other banks or other areas. Wire transfers, they would also affect wire transfers. That means something called a better version of net banking, but through for international borders and international countries, companies. Trade finance and treasury services, this is where they would support you to finance your trade in the foreign country or your exports, or give you coverage for exports that you want to do with a credit available against the sales invoice. What is SWIFT? SWIFT stands for Society for Worldwide Interbank Financial Telecommunication. It's a secure global messaging network used by 11,000 plus institutions, not a payment system, just a messaging platform. So while SWIFT stands for Society for Worldwide Interbank Financial Telecommunication, it's a secure global messaging network which till date has not been broken into or hacked, and that is why ensures secure global messaging network between any two banks. It is used by 11,000 plus institutions worldwide. And remember that this is not a payment system. Although it is very commonly said that payment will come through SWIFT. No, payment doesn't come through SWIFT. Only a message to your bank comes through SWIFT, and then the bank acts on that message to make the payment available to you. How does SWIFT work? Bank sends standard SWIFT message, uses BIC or SWIFT codes. Intermediary banks may be involved. Funds move via Nostro and Vostro accounts. So, how does SWIFT net work? Bank sends a standardized SWIFT message. That means, let's say you have purchased some material from a customer in overseas, and now you want to make payment to him. You would go to your bank through this HDFC bank and tell them that we would like to make a SWIFT payment of so many $1,000 to this party located in so and so country. This is the bank details. Now, when you give them the bank details, they would have a SWIFT code of that bank or the BIC code for that bank. And that is how that SWIFT message will go from HDFC to that bank. Now, many a times HDFC may not have a direct link to the customer's bank. Now, in that situation, or to the supplier's bank, in such a situation, there would be an intermediary bank that may be involved either in India or in the overseas country or market. How does funds move? Funds move through the banking channel. That means you will pay, or you bank, HDFC will deduct the said amount equivalent in Indian rupees from your Indian account, Indian currency account, or the finance or the foreign currency account that you hold with them, and of course on your instructions, and then move that payment to the destination bank. How does SWIFT work? Once the SWIFT message has been sent, it initiates a process, or it has to be backed up by a process that has the same SWIFT reference, but the actual transactions happening with respect to that SWIFT code. So that it takes about 2 to 5 business days. It is secure and traceable, and fees depend on banks and intermediaries. Widely trusted global system. So while it would take 2 to 5 days for money to reach the destination, it is secure and traceable, so which means that even if he gets the payment, or if the payment is not received in, let's say, 5 days, your bank can trace the payment and recall it back and make a fresh request, and the money would then get transferred once again. Fees depend, of course, all the banks would charge you a certain fee, and it will also depend not only on the amount that is being sent, but will also depend on the number of intermediaries in between the entire transaction. It's a widely trusted global system and has been working for a long time now. What are the other international payment terms that you would agree with your supplier or your customer? Cash in advance, letter of credit, documentary collection, open account, consignment, bank draft, or a telegraphic transfer. What is cash in advance? Buyer pays before the shipment, high security for seller, high risk for buyer, and suitable for high risk markets. So let's say you want to export, and you receive an order from a country which is not stable in terms of either economically volatile or politically volatile. You would want to secure your payment. In this situation, you start with cash in advance, which means now your buyer or your customer in the foreign country is going to make that payment before you ship out his cargo or his shipment. In this situation, there is a high risk, high security for the seller, as we just understood, high risk for the buyer. Now, if you turn around and do not supply material, the buyer is going to have a tough time trying and recovering money from you, which has already been paid. But at the same time, the buyer would know that it's a high risk, it is being used because of the high risk market that he is himself sitting in. Letter of credit, bank guarantee of payment against documents, secure for both parties, and suitable for large and new transactions. Now, what is a letter of credit? A letter of credit is a confirmation or a guarantee given by the bank to you as a seller that you will get your payment as soon as the documents are received by the customer. Now, how does this work? You have sent a pro forma invoice to the customer. The customer goes to the bank and opens a letter of credit. Now, this letter of credit is routed through your bank, and let's say your bank, which we started with as HDFC, receives the letter of credit. Once the letter of credit is received and you agree to all the terms and conditions, the bank will send a confirmation to the bank from which this letter of credit came in, saying that the LC has been accepted. Now, when the LC has been accepted, it also implies that you will adhere to or comply with all the requirements of that letter of credit, including the date of expiry. There are two dates that are available. One is the last date of shipment. The second is the last date of credit, that letter of credit. That means the shipment compliance has to be with respect to the date of shipment, which also implies, though this is proven or confirmed by the date of the bill of lading. The bill of lading will have only one date, and that is received on board on so and so date. And that is the date which will be taken as the date of the bill of lading, which means that if that date is inside the validity of the date on the letter of credit, your letter of credit still stands. Now, you many a times, depending on the process, country and the company, you may permit your buyer or your seller to a credit period or a period of about 6 days, 7 days, the time required for him to send you the original documents or submit the original documents to the bank. Now, this is the time where you will submit all the original documents for the transaction, for the shipment to your bank, that is HDFC. HDFC, on the basis of this letter of credit, will actually physically courier the documents to that bank. And before the shipment reaches the destination, these documents will be available to the corresponding bank of the customer in his country. As soon as the bank receives the documents, it calls for the customer to come and collect the documents. It checks first that all the documents are in line, they comply to the letter of credit that was issued by them, and once that is done, the payment is initiated to you. The letter of the customer receives the documents, accepts, and gives the bank an acknowledgement saying that all documents in order and have been received. That is where the actual initiation of the payment takes place, and the money is available to your bank account, the same account in which the LC was delivered. Now, this is secure for both parties because you cannot, as a seller, you don't have any risk. You have a bank guarantee. As a buyer, he doesn't have to bother because he is going to make the payment. His money will get deducted only after he has himself confirmed that the shipment documents have been received. Now, these shipping documents in original are required for him to clear the shipment and accept it from the shipping line at the port of destination. It is used suitably and mostly for all large and new transactions. The reason it is said as new transactions is because the bank charges a certain fee for this bank guarantee, and this fee can be quite high, which actually depends on the transaction value. As a result, companies and parties get rid of this letter of credit over a period of time once there is a certain trust that has been built between the two parties. Documentary collection. Banks handle documents, payment or acceptance required, lower cost than LC, no bank payment guarantee. As I said, once the letter of credit has been established and there is a certain amount of trust between the two parties, the parties may shift from letter of credit to documentary collection. Now, when we move to documentary collection, there is no bank guarantee that is made available to the seller. At the same time, the bank confirms or takes up responsibility that it would release the documents, the original documents, to the buyer only after he has confirmed payment or he complies to the payment period that you have as a seller specified to the bank. So what how would this work? You would tell HDFC that these are the documents and payment has to be received on presentation or on collection, which is conveyed to the correspondent bank of the buyer. And once he agrees, yes, that this is acceptable to him, the bank, the HDFC bank will send the documents, courier the documents physically to the bank in the country of the buyer. Once the documents reach the buyer bank, the bank calls up the buyer, tells him that unless there is payment made or a draft given to him, given to the bank, they would not release the original documents. That is the control that the bank would have on the documents before the payment is taken up. The cost of such a transaction is much lower than the LC, and however, there is no bank payment guarantee in this process, which means that the risk is equal for both the parties. Open account, pay after delivery, low risk for buyer, high risk for seller. This is like a credit account that is made available to the customer, although he is internationally or globally placed somewhere else in some other country. Of course, there would be a very low risk for the buyer, but a very high risk for the seller. Consignment, pay after resale, low risk for buyer, high risk for seller. What does this mean? This means that you receive the consignment, however, you don't make any payment unless and until sales start. You may have brought a consignment of, let's say, 500 pieces. Once you have sold the 500 pieces or whatever you have agreed on the consignment payment terms with your seller is how you would pay. Maybe at 50% you will pay the 50% payment. After you have sold 75% of the consignment, you would have to make the balance 50% payment or whatever terms you have decided. In this situation, the risk for the buyer is low, but the risk for the seller is high because now the buyer is depending on the seller to make the efforts to actually sell the consignment. Bank draft. Bank draft is bank guaranteed check, secure but involves fees, used for urgent payments. Let's say when does a bank draft come into picture? We all know local checks can bounce and there is nothing actually binding on the person who's issued the check unless you take him to court. But however, while all banking regulations are in place, a bank draft is resorted to, where bank draft means that the bank takes away that much money from the person who is wanting to issue the bank draft, either is deducted from his account and kept in an account, suspense account with the bank till the time the draft is encashed. That is why they say it is a bank guaranteed check. Secure but involves fees and used for urgent payments. Telegraphic transfer, TT, also commonly known, fast electronic transfer, secure but involves fees, used for urgent payments. So now you want to send something internationally, you can do it without the bank draft, you can do it directly online or through your bank, where you tell them, give them your account number and they would only deduct that amount from that account, or you pay them cash across the counter and they enact the telegraphic transfer to the said destination account. Selecting the best option, a buyer-seller relationship will depend, it will all depend on the buyer-seller relationship as to which option is taken up. Many a times as the business starts, it starts on a letter of credit, and then slowly as business grows, as both the parties start getting to know each other and a relationship develops, it can go up to documentary collection or even open account. Political and economic stability will play a part in both the countries. Nature of the order or the nature of goods will also meet that requirement. Many a times there could be a customized order made for a customer overseas, specific exactly as per his specifications, then there would be a letter of credit that would be at least asked, or maybe an part of the payment is received in advance so that the seller can start working on the order. Cash flow needs of both the companies and competitive pressure. There could be a competitor to your buyer who is selling on documentary collection. You may be forced to get into documentary collection, or in that case, many a times you would prefer to get into letter of credit with the LC charges being debited to you. Letter of credit, the key concepts, separate from a sales contract. Banks deal only in documents, can be confirmed or unconfirmed, irrevocable by default. So separate from the sales contract, a letter of credit has nothing to do with the sales contract, has nothing to do with the value or the cost of each component or the consignment, except the final value to be paid. Banks deal only in the documents. They do not deal with respect to the quality of the products, with the quantity of the products, etc., etc. Can be confirmed or unconfirmed. A letter of credit can be a confirmed LC or an unconfirmed LC. A confirmed LC means that the banks involved in the entire transactions are all aware and they confirm that this payment would be given to the receiver or the seller. Irrevocable by default. Normally, all LCs once issued are irrevocable unless both parties agree to cancel the LC or revoke it. So that is why it is said that it is irrevocable by default. Currency and exchange rates. Exchange rate is equal to value of one currency versus another. Rates constantly fluctuate. Affects imports, exports, and profits. Critical to international trade. Exchange rate, as we understand, is the exchange rate of the rupee with respect to the currency that we are talking about, or more importantly, the currency that is being used for the transaction. Now, that is important to note because you are going to calculate costs with respect to that currency and the exchange rate with the Indian rupee. So, if the exchange rate changes either to the plus side or to the minus side, you would have to either take a hit in terms of your profits, or you would get a little more profit than you had expected. These rates constantly keep fluctuating for various reasons. Affects imports, exports, and profits. As I just explained, it will definitely depend whether you're the importer, you're the exporter, and whether it's how much of it is going to hit your profit. And it is very critical to international trade because you are selling in one currency and you are charging another currency to your customer. Exchange rates factors. What are the factors that govern exchange rates? It is inflation, interest rates that are in that economy, in that market, in that country, of the banks, current account balance, public debt, and terms of trade. So exchange rates for a country are decided by the inflation, by the interest rates that the central bank of that country has released or is permitting banks. What is the current account balance? That means that country's account balance with your country as an exporter. What is the public debt of the government of that country vis-a-vis the public there? And what are the terms of trade between the two countries, between yours and theirs? As a result, the exchange rate would be different for different countries, different currencies with respect to even the Indian rupee or the US dollar. What are the international business risks, political risks, economic risks, legal and regulatory risks, currency risks, and operational risks? Political risk, we understood. Today, government is in place. It gets changed. There could be different policies, different ways of looking at business, different areas being promoted that could affect your business or your transactions. Economic risks. Yes, there could be high inflation, there could be low interest rates, or whatever other factors that affect currencies, you would have economic risks there. Legal and regulatory, let's say a new government comes in, or the present government is there, but there is a representation from one of the industries that they would like protection for the next 5 years, for the next 10 years, you could run into problems if you happen to be in that same industry and you are trying to export something to this country. Currency risks, as we understood, fluctuation in exchange rates, currency risks, value of the currency of that country, and operational risks is where the actual operations take place. You may have a country where the law and order is not very strong. As a result, consignments landing at port may go missing, or anything else could happen. So these would be some of the operational risks. How do you mitigate these risks, and what are the strategies? Diversification, political and credit insurance, hedging and forward contracts, compliance programs, strong supply chain management. Diversification, instead of, let's say you have a high potential market, but the market is risky in terms of political pressure or political situations or economic situations, you could look at exporting to a neighboring country, use your distributor there, and use him to distribute the product in the neighboring country as well. Political and credit insurance, you could get insurance for for loss of money or delay in payments due to political reasons, and also get credit insurance. That means if you are offering credit to your customer, you can get that credit covered through insurance. Hedging and forward contracts, this is an exercise that is done with respect to booking or hedging foreign currency. Today, let's say the dollar rate goes to 85 rupees per dollar. You can book currency, that is hedge currency, of $10,000, $20,000, which you are supposed to pay to your supplier 3 months forward, 4 months forward, which means that if the account, if the exchange rate goes below 85, that means goes to 86 or 87 or 88, then you will not be affected. However, if the rate goes below, that means goes to 84, 83 or 82, you will pay that rate to the bank at that point of time. This is where you get protection only in one direction, the other direction is not acceptable. Compliance programs, you comply to certain rules and regulations of international trade, as well as ensure that payments and banking processes are in place. And of course, you have a strong supply chain management so that you are aware that your shipping line, your banking, as well as your transporters are all under control, or you are able to get your things done through them. Summary: international banking enables global trade. SWIFT ensures secure financial messaging. Payment terms balance risk and trust, and currency and risk management are critical. Yes, international banking enables global trade. That's how banks work internationally across borders. SWIFT, as we understood, is a secure financing message. Payment terms balance risk and trust. So you got to decide which kind of payment terms is suitable for you based on the risk and the trust that you have. Risk, currency and risk management are critical, and they need to be closely monitored. Have accountants who are practiced in or experienced in currency exchange handling and risk management so that you secure yourself. Thank you.